have only bits and pieces of information, but what we know for certain is that at some point in the early 21st century, all of mankind was united in celebration. We marveled at our own magnificence as we gave birth to AI.
AI? You mean artificial intelligence?
A singular consciousness that spawned an entire race of machines. We don't know who struck first, us or them. But we know that it was us that scorched the sky.
Welcome to Double Impact, the podcast where we double back on the movies that impacted us growing up as 90s kids and decide whether they hold up today or best left in the past. I'm Tristan.
And I'm Greg. Sunday morning here. And this is a sports podcast, right? So we're just going to talk about the West Tigers for the next hour or so.
Greg's very excited.
We scored all the points, Tristan.
All of them.
All of them. 66 of them.
There were none left.
And I think, you know, we've got quite a few Aussie listeners. So they would be like, yeah, you legend. Everyone, I'm assuming, loves the Tigers. And for our international guests, it's the rugby league team I support. And they had a bit, they're not a very good team, Tristan. We were coming last in the comp. But there's been, green shoots of, mostly downs, some green shoots of a team that might not lose every game. And then on a crisp Saturday evening at the spiritual home of the team, the Leichhardt Oval, the hallowed turf, they put on 66 points over the North Queensland Cowboys.
Nice.
It was a point fest, Tristan. I've never seen anything like it. Literally, I've never seen anything like it.
And that ends one of the greatest nights in the history of the West Tigers, a night that no one here will ever, ever forget.
It was glorious. And it's a local park oval, so it's not a big sort of stadium as such. And it's got an old school manual scoreboard. And the kids got in there at the end and changed the score from 66-18 to 69-0.
Yeah.
Classic pants. Yeah.
And, you know, the confidence, the momentum. You know, if Ted Lasso has taught me anything, it's about believing.
Oh, mate, Ted Lasso would have loved this game. There was so much belief.
Man, I've given up on that show, by the way. Are you watching that show?
I watched 4 episodes.
Yeah.
I liked it, but I got to say.
Yeah.
I've only watched 4 episodes. I don't know, man.
I thought you had a hot take.
It's very hyped, I would say. I enjoy, like, it's good.
I think it's good. I think season 1 is good, and I think it came at a time when we needed a little, you know, bit of sweetness in our lives. And the latest season, it's just sickly sweet, and it's like,
you've lost
it. I don't know. It just, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not into it.
Take that,
Jason's. And only realizing this as I'm saying it, that we just haven't, the previous seasons, we'd watch them as they came out, and we've just kind of forgotten it exists at this point.
You're on to beef. You've changed tack.
Oh, I still haven't finished that. Got to go slow with that one. It's too stressful.
I haven't finished much. We sort of stopped Succession. I think we just not watching
really?
A lot of TV. Well, not intentionally, like not actively, we're not watching this anymore.
Yeah.
Just, you know, life, bro, life.
Succession's a mainstay for us.
I need to catch
up. Near the end.
Yeah, I know. I need to catch up. I feel like something bad's going to happen to Logan.
Fuck off.
But we're not here to talk about television.
No, we're here to talk about artificial intelligence.
The distant future. The distant future.
It's your birthday. Someone gives you a calf-skin wallet.
I think things are getting weird, and they're getting weird fast.
Fuck you, asshole.
So when AI becomes stronger than we are, what do you do exactly?
Malfunction. Need input.
It may be wise to have some sort of contingency plan.
AI. Generative AI. Generative AI. Generative AI. AI. Uses AI to bring AI.
Is this the place they make you real?
Oh, man, speaking of, you know what? We're doing a mini-series on AI, if you weren't aware. And, like, it is as topical as can be. I mean, I think the only time we'll be more topical is when, you know, Judgment Day happens and the rise of the machines and, you know, they get us. But at which point, who's listening to a podcast? But, actor and SAG board member Justine Bateman just released a flurry of tweets. I sent these to you the other day, Greg.
Yeah.
About AI in Hollywood. It's fucking fascinating, man. I'll just read some of them out because it's like, kind of mind-blowing. So there's a few here. AI-written scripts and digitally scanned actors, both already exist. Some talent agencies are actively recruiting their clients to be scanned. You choose the project and get 75 cents on the dollar. Also means you can be in multiple projects at once because there's no physics limitation. Second one, films customized for a viewer based on their viewing history, which has been collected for many years. Actors will have the option to have their image bought out to be used in anything at all. Number three, films ordered up by the viewer. For example, I want a film about a panda and a unicorn who saved the world in a rocket ship and put Bill Murray in it. This shit's getting crazy.
Mm.
And then there's a bunch of stuff about, you know, getting yourself scanned into the movie. It's kind of crazy. I mean, that stuff's definitely going to happen. I hope it just doesn't replace the good stuff.
Yeah, I think it's already happening with, you know, like Rob Schneider movies.
Yeah, and all the Netflix movies, right? All those Rock ones, like all those. I think it's just one. But, you know, like they're obviously just taking the algorithm data at face value and go, oh, yeah, let's put all those things in there. Yeah. Don't worry about good writing.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like, it's fucking Hollywood, man. It's movies. It's art. You need writing.
Yeah, you'd think.
I'm down for some experiments with AI and stuff, and it can be content that is AI generated, but we stand with the Writers Guild.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called? We stand with Justine Bateman. Justine Bateman from Family Ties, remember her? She's such a babe. One of my first crushes.
Oh, yeah?
She said, she used Family Ties as an example too. She said, you could train AI programs on older hits, older TV shows, and creating additional seasons. So Family Ties, for example, has 167 episodes. An AI program could easily be trained on this and create an eighth season.
That's cool.
Trippy.
It's trippy. Cool in the cool. Not cool, cool.
I think it's kind of cool, but yeah, I think as long as it doesn't replace.
I don't know.
You know,
it's probably not cool.
In the same way that we like TikTok, but we still like movies. So I wouldn't want TikTok to replace movies, you know?
Well, absolutely not. Really makes you think.
Keep going.
Hey, we're doing The Matrix for the second time. But
2.0.
First time in your ear holes, listeners.
I hope.
It was one of our practice episodes back in the day. What are the lost tapes?
What are the lost tapes?
Which Greg and I both listened to this week.
We did.
I listened to about half of it. It was rough, man.
I got the whole way through it. Once I got past the first 10 minutes, I was okay.
Oh, yeah? I'm glad you fall asleep. Oh,
sorry, my Bluetooth speakers are connecting to some other device.
What's it connecting to?
The TV upstairs. It's so annoying. Okay.
Why would that be a feature? This is the rise of the, this is, it's happening.
It's happening.
Artificial intelligence. Making fools of us all.
Yeah, but annoying me.
I forgot what I even said.
Sorry, mate.
Damn it, they won again.
And I couldn't hear you because I was going connected to living room.
Oh, it's so annoying. Oh, and we covered it before. That's what we're talking about.
Yes, we covered it.
We have covered it previously. If you listen till the end, maybe we'll throw in some clips at the end.
It's.
We won't put it in the beginning.
No, you'd be gone by now. There was some seedlings there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
We've come a long way, Greg.
You had some nice points. I said this movie's, I like it. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be interesting because, like, I don't have a lot. Well, maybe once we start talking I will, but I just feel like I don't have a ton to say about this movie because it's just so, it's The Matrix.
Ubiquitous.
But we'll see how we go. Came out in 99.
Well, 1999, end of a decade, end of a millennia.
Yeah.
End of a iconic TV program. We might have talked about this in various shapes and form. A little show called Hey, Hey, It's Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Had its final ever episode. Now, we have talked about this show in various forms along the way. It's an iconic Australian TV show. It was on every Saturday.
Yeah.
As the name suggests. In houses around the country, homes around the country, you know, it's well represented in The Castle.
Dad reckons there's only one show better than Hey Hey It's Saturday, and that's the best of Hey Hey It's Saturday.
Goggy bread!
I remember getting some Saturday night would be the kind of night where we'd get hot chips for dinner. Not even fish and chips. Sometimes we'll just get chips.
Yeah, nice.
From Pom's Kitchen.
Pom's Kitchen, yeah.
I'd sit on the floor, with a pile of chips with tomato sauce and vinegar, some potato scallops, maybe some fish cocktails perhaps.
Oh, living.
Yeah, that was living, man. Just watching these weird shows like Hey Hey It's Saturday and maybe Baywatch, I think, was in the mix.
Oh,
what a time.
And Hey Hey It's Saturday reigned supreme. So it was hosted prior. Daryl Simon's co-hosts came and went, obviously. Over the years, but Daryl Summers was the sort of mainstay. Lavinia Nixon was in their mix there before. Who was the lady from in the back in the day? Jackie McDonald. She was sort of the original co-host.
Yeah.
Pluck a
There was
duck,
another babe.
Molly Meldrum. Lavinia Nixon. She was the babe, wasn't she?
There was one more.
Was there.
Oh, who was it?
Molly Meldrum.
Yeah, Molly Meldrum.
Poor Molly. He's taking his clothes off all the time now. He banged his head. He's taking his clothes off. He just gets his wiener
weird
out.
Weird old man status.
Climbs up on stage with Elton and flops his doodle out. Molly.
That was weird.
It was a hell of a show. I did have a couple of little factoids on the Hey Hey the chronology, I guess. Did you know that it started off as a Saturday morning, kind of like a Cartoon Connection-y type thing called Hey Hey, It's Saturday.
So a kid's show.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was one of those little ones that you'd sort of just cut to the host doing funny stuff and then go back to the cartoons. October 9th, 1971. It was a pretty popular show, and so they started getting a little bit more money and a little bit more effort put into the show.
Mm.
I'm just looking for the time when it went to move to prime time. Here we go, 1984. So it had been around like, 13 odd years.
Damn.
And then they moved it and they called it Hey Hey It's Saturday Night.
Oh.
And then they went, oh no, let's just call it Hey Hey It's Saturday.
From the studios of Channel 9, entertainment capital of the free world and on relay around the globe through Melbourne, Sydney, Canberra, Brisbane, Darwin, Perth, Adelaide and Hobart. Welcome to another 2 hours of madcap, shady, unpredictable entertainment with Dax the Duck and the Dross on Hey Hey It's Saturday. And now you culture vultures, let's hear it for the host, David and Daryl Summers.
And that's when they started getting all the big names in, Sylvester Stallone, Tom Jones, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Andre the Giant was there saying hello. And then they had this, so the Skyhooks.
Yeah.
Where Red Simons was the lead guitarist.
Yeah.
They did a concert and they did a live version of Hey Hey. Well, it was always live, but live from the from the concert. I've never done the 70s. Red Simons was pretty involved in the banter, and so then he got that ongoing gig.
Oh, so that just came about. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So that's how he ended up on the show.
I'll tell you what's aged poorly, though. Poor Kamal.
Mm-hmm.
You heard about that stuff? He's basically, they were pretty racist to him.
Were they?
And like, because you know how they used to draw the doodles?
Yeah.
And that guy's voice would come on? Like it was pretty much always racist jokes. And he always took it like a champ, but he has since come out saying, yeah, it was pretty horrible.
You know, there was a hypocrisy on both sides. You know, I pretended everything was okay when it wasn't. So that sort of thing has happened almost all my life. So,
do you hold any ill will, any grudges against those who put you in that position on
not,
the program?
I may have, but the thing is I hold on to memories rather than grudges. And some of the memories are unbelievable, and all the grudges pale by comparison.
So this is the problem with this
poor guy.
Show. It's like, it was iconic, but it had, had some bad race stuff.
I mean, racism was the style at the time, I suppose.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah.
Embarrassingly.
You can save that for when we get to Short Circuit.
Oh.
Because it's.
Oh, yeah.
That's a. Oof, we haven't had one of those yet.
No.
I've been keen to do one that has a really, really just does not hold up component to it like that.
Yeah.
Well, coming soon.
Yeah. So Hey Hey ended as the millennia ended and racism wasn't cool anymore, perhaps.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with all these jokes? That's what.
Can't say anything anymore.
Yeah. Wokeism, man. So anywho.
More on that later with the red pills and such.
Ah, the red pill. The old estrogen supplement.
Exactly. All right, save it. We'll get to that.
1999. I also finished high school in 99. So this was a big year for me, you know, in my life.
Oh, man. I was finishing year 10, so I was finishing that.
School certificate.
I was about to get to the high school stuff. Certificate. Serious shit. Yeah, man, big year for, hey, it's Saturday, big year for Australian popular culture and racism. Big year for movies too, Greg.
Yeah, huh?
It was the first Star Wars prequel, Phantom Menace.
From Jim Bonk.
The Sixth Sense, Toy Story 2,
ooh.
Tarzan, The Mummy, Notting Hill, The World Is Not Enough, American Beauty, Austin Powers, which we covered very recently.
South Park?
Yeah, South Park, Bigger, Longer and Uncut, Bowfinger, End of Days,
oh.
Blair Witch Project. The last five movies or so we've covered, by the way, that we've mentioned.
We've probably covered Hey Hey Saturday in there, but you know what? Here's a little reminder.
Yeah, yeah. Notably also the year of Wild Wild West.
Oh, yes.
Fight Club, Office Space, Go, 10 Things I Hate About You. Man, this when I read this list of movies, it is very much the dawn of DVD shelf royalty, some of these ones, isn't it?
Oh, it's got JB Hi-Fi written all over it.
Yeah, 100%. But there was a little film, Greg, a little film about some artificial intelligence going crazy and putting us all in a little open world game as such. A little artificial reality they call The Matrix. The Matrix came out in March of 1999, budget of $63 million, not that high. Box office of $467.2 million, very high. It's interesting it wasn't the number one film, but I guess it's hard to imagine this now, but it wasn't like expected to be huge. It just kind of, yeah, well, more on that when we get to origin story. But Rotten Tomatoes, critic score 88%, audience score 85%. I don't know why it's not 100%. It's a good movie, this one. Yeah. Critic consensus as follows. Thanks to the Wachowskis' imaginative vision, The Matrix is a smartly crafted combination of spectacular action and groundbreaking special effects.
Mm.
Well, those are some words. I feel like you're really just on the surface there, Mr.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, duh.
This film pretty. Film pretty.
Yeah, he could have joined our pilot episode, he or she.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's The Matrix, bro.
Mm.
This was big for the world. Everyone, right? This was a big movie. The Matrix.
Big movie, man. It's huge. It's huge. So I had the same thing. It's like, yeah, it's like.
Where does one start?
It's a big movie for me. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I didn't really have anything unique about my experience with it. It was just as big for me as everyone else. I don't think I saw it at the movies though.
Yeah.
And it was like a DVD. Remember when you first watch a DVD and you're like, wow, how can it get any more clearer? More clearer? How could it get any clearer? And now you watch a DVD and it looks like junk. But man, I think that this was one of those films. There aren't many of these films, but like Terminator 2, where you first watch it and it's just genuinely mind blowing. I remember talking about it in the schoolyard. I also remember at university a few years later doing philosophy 101. And the lecturer talking about Plato's cave and, you know, other various things. And the students are like, oh, you like The Matrix? And I remember him not liking that, you know, that summarization of Plato's cave. Yeah, oh, so you mean The Matrix? I think it's like.
Oh, so he's referencing The Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I like The Matrix. It was The Matrix, and then in all my film classes, it was Fight Club.
What else is there?
I think I told you that one, right? One of our tutorials, as an icebreaker, everyone had to go around the room and say their favorite movie, and literally everyone said Fight Club. And it got to me, and so I said Lebowski. I wanted to be different. And, you know, you got to mix it up. It was Fight Club, though. Big movie.
I love it.
Yeah. And then I don't know about you, Greg, but I also did watch this again about 4 years ago for a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
4 years. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
It's
4 years.
It's wild. I was in my mid-30s. Now I'm in my mid to late 30s.
Yeah. That's a whole lola ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a whole lola ago. And then I rewatched them all when the new one came out because those blank check fellas put a hard sell on like, hey, those sequels are really good. So I went and watched them again properly and then watched the new one. And I remember enjoying it, but I could not explain it to anyone. I can't even remember. I can't even explain it to myself.
The new one?
Anything beyond Matrix 1, really. I got the like general gist, but in terms of like the rich lore of it all, I am lost.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
I think I got up to speed at the time, but then I've since let it go. Did you watch the new one?
I started watching I watched obviously the original to do for this. Mm. My prep. And then I didn't watch the middle two. Is there two middle ones? Is there four? Yeah.
Yeah, it's four.
But I started watching the new one, which was a very interesting contrast to the original, which we'll probably touch on shortly.
Should I get into the origin story of this picture?
Oh, yeah. Tell us about it.
Origin story.
You could say Oki has a Morpheus-like quality.
Welcome to the real world. He does. He would be a great Morpheus.
He would, wouldn't he? Or Sinbad, that's it.
Octavio is very similar to Sinbad for those who don't know him. We need to introduce him to friends of the show. Oh, I was going to do that. He didn't come to our farewell and I wanted to take a video of him. Oh, no, when we visited. Oh, when was it? I want to take a video of him like saying origin story and put it on the gram. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a little story that starts with a couple of siblings, the Wachowskis.
Mm.
The year was 1994. Mm-hmm. They'd written some scripts. They had ideas, man. I think they'd also previously written some comic books.
Mm-hmm.
One of those scripts was titled Assassins. They took that to Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers dug it and they actually bought three scripts from them. Assassins, another film called Bound, and another film called The Matrix.
And Charlie Parker does the voices in Bound. I know you're tired of loving, when nobody loves, nobody. That's the same
Charlie
thing,
Wilson?
Right? Yeah, what did I say?
I don't know. You said something else.
Give me an
That's not. Is that Charlie? I don't think it's Charlie Wilson, is it? Is it?
Yeah, it is.
You're doing your lying face.
Is it not?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it is. It kind of sounds like him.
Charlie Wilson, Bound. During his appearance, he performed Bound 2 with Charlie Wilson, The Roots. Yeah, it's Charlie Wilson.
Wow.
Wow.
That's huge. Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Today, Junior. Sorry, Kanye loves Charlie Wilson. He does a
Who
couple
doesn't?
Songs with him.
But there's no ooey in that song. So how am I supposed to know?
It's true.
That's how I knew the Yams was him. Can I get to the Yams?
Sweet Yams.
He's got a very distinctive voice, but unless he hits that ooey, it could be anyone.
Yeah,
it's awesome. So it's a different Bound anyway.
It is a different Bound, but, you know, maybe Kanye was inspired by that. Wouldn't surprise me.
Exactly.
He kind of dresses like he's in the Matrix at this point in his life.
Oh, my goodness. Man, okay.
Which is also a funny red pill thing. Anyway, we'll get into all that. So they bought those three scripts. Someone else made Assassins and cast it magnificently. With Stallone and
Banderas
and Antonio Banderas, but their directorial debut was Bound.
There he goes.
It became a critical success. I didn't light the box office on fire, I don't think, but it was enough to, you know, get the Matrix kind of the next on the list. Yeah. But it kind of was stalling. It was people weren't totally. It's a big idea, hard to grasp. But one guy did grasp it by the balls. Joel Silver, he was into it. And nice. He gave it a real good push, but that still wasn't quite enough. So what they ended up doing was getting two comic book artists to draw up a 600-page storyboard of the entire film to sell it in.
Far out.
I respect that. Yeah. I respect that.
You know what this film needs? Comics.
Yeah.
But they're comic folk, as you look.
Exactly. Said. And so many of the shots like could be panels out of a comic. They look great. I mean, that's the crux of the origin story per se, as such, as it were, vis-a-vis, et cetera. But we do have some juicy precasties. I think we all know these at this point. But Will Smith turned this film down, the role of Neo, to go straight to the Wild Wild West.
Wild West.
And since we last talked about this film, Greg, he has actually come out and talked about why.
Yeah.
The Wachowskis, they came in and it was like they had only done one movie. They did a movie, I think it was called Bound. And they came in and they made a pitch for The Matrix.
And as it turns out, they're geniuses. But there's a fine line in a pitch meeting between genius and what I experienced in the meeting.
So this is the actual pitch that they made for The Matrix.
Dude, we're thinking like imagine you're in a fight and then you're like, jump. Imagine if you could stop jumping in the middle of the jump.
Sam, say that again.
But then people could see around you 360 while you're jumping, while you're stop jumping, right? And then we're going to invent these cameras and then people can see the whole jump while you stop in the middle of the jump.
So I made Wild Wild West.
That's great.
That's good. He owns it.
Like I said in the original, whatever happened to him anyway?
To Will Smith?
Yeah, that's what, yeah. My point is it didn't really slow him down.
Yeah. I've never seen Wild Wild West either. We should do that.
It's got a mechanical giant spider in it. So it's
I remember that was
technology.
Yeah. There's a whole backstory of that spider thing. It was some producer who's been trying to get a giant spider in a movie for a long time. I remember seeing a video about it. Oh, we should do that movie. I feel like there's lots to unpack. But there were also some other juicy precasties like there's Brad Pitt and Johnny Depp, Val Kilmer as Morpheus. Nick Cage was mentioned too, but I'm unsure if that's as Morpheus or Neo because he could kind of do either.
I thought he was a Neo. He was one
He'd be a great Morpheus now.
Yeah, he would.
He'd be great.
He would.
He could also be sci-fi. He could do agents. He could do any of them. Maybe
he could do all of them. One man show.
Oh, yeah, man.
The one man stage production.
Welcome to my one man show. A reimagining of the Matrix.
I'm gonna do the Matrix.
Let's begin.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go.
Some visual comedy for our pod.
Yeah, visual comedy is it's for the platform. It's you know, platform perfect content, they call it. Hey, that's the origin story. Bish, bash, bosh. You got yourself a film.
There you go. Hey, it was fun in listening to our, he much of a Will Smith guy, chat pre-slap.
Oh, yeah. What did we say then?
I think we were Smithmen.
Yeah. I guess I'm still a Smithman. It's going to take some time for those wounds to heal.
For that slap to, for that
it's just,
cheek to.
It's so hard to get over, honestly. I know it's like, oh, well, that's so long ago. But, man, it was so weird. I watched it with fresh eyes again recently. It's fucking weird, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's play the trailer.
Had a dream, Neo, that you were so sure was real. What if you were unable to wake from that dream? How would you know the difference between the dream world and the real world?
What is happening to me?
The answer is out there, Neo. It's the question that drives us.
What is the Matrix? The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. What truth?
They're watching you, Neo.
Human beings are a disease. You are a cancer of this planet. And we are the cure.
Get me the hell out of here!
Welcome to the real world.
So you're here to save the world.
So what do you need? Guns. Lots of guns.
No one has ever done anything like this.
That's why it's going to work.
Buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy. Because Kansas is going bye-bye. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
What a movie.
Oh.
What a trailer.
What a trailer.
What happened in this movie, Greg?
It's a much-discussed tale, Tristan. A tale as old as, well, this movie, as far as I can tell. You got a tired, pasty computer programmer, Anderson.
Yeah.
And he starts getting these weird messages. He's kind of, you know, doing some dark web shiz.
Yeah.
And he meets a guy that basically promises to explain everything that's going on in the world if he has a pill. He can have one pill to learn everything or one pill to go back to normal. I mean, I don't know why no pill was could have been an option. Just don't have a pill. Apparently need a blue pill. But he takes the red pill. A little estrogen pump there, and down the rabbit hole he goes, and he learns that he's been living in this crazily sophisticated simulation because the sun died and the robots needed power to keep the roboting, so they enslaved the human race and used their energy to power the robots. So humans are like battery hens. When they don't produce any more power, then they're mulched up and fed as sustenance to the other human batteries.
Yeah.
That's the world we're living in.
Yeah.
But he's been pulled out of the Matrix, Tristan, underground to a dingy little ship where you can eat not even oats, I don't know what, the gruel, synthetic gruel.
Yeah. Soylent Green.
Yeah, and you got these people in their Yeezy CZ2 clothes
right.
underground. And there's a guy named Morpheus, the guy that gave him the pill. He's the kind of cool boss. So Anderson's hanging out with these guys now. He's like, great, great. But he gets a cool new name, Neo, and he goes about bringing down the Matrix. But mostly they're just running away from the baddies, who's Hugo Weaving. They're called the Agents, and they're very mean, and they keep deadnaming Neo. But Neo can't be stopped, because he's the one. And there's lots of latex and fighting and sunnies. There's a lot of sunnies.
Yeah.
Coats and such. And that's The Matrix, probably the most eloquent summary of The Matrix you'll ever find.
I feel like I just watched it again.
Yeah. Yeah, you just, really just got reloaded. Did that embiggen...
Theater of the mind.
Did it embiggen your understanding?
It's so embiggened. Bigly. Mm,
yeah.
Bigly embiggened.
Other things happen, but they're just, you know, they're just running away from these guys for most of the time as far as I could tell.
Yeah.
But then they fight him. And it's good fights.
And then it ends.
And then it suddenly. Ends. Flying.
It ends so suddenly. He just flies off.
Yeah, he flies.
Did we know there was going to be a sequel? Like watching it knowing that it's a trilogy or quadrilogy now, you're like, okay. But if you didn't know, yeah, I wonder what the feeling was like back then. I can't remember. Anyway. Hey, this is a good movie, Greg. I don't know what you thought, but I thought it was pretty great.
Ah, man, this thing holds the fuck up. Like, it's just, it's aged very well.
It really has. And the 90s thing just works anyway because, like, I'd argue even if they were making it today, you could still set it in the 90s, like, because it's fake. it's the Matrix.
Mm,
and maybe the Matrix decides that that's the right era to, you know, have people, you know, be in a fake world. The right era to replicate.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good movie. It's a very good movie.
That's all
I got. Although I forgot how many people they kill. They kill a lot of people.
Well,
they aren't agents.
It's a great point. I did want us to discuss that because it's.
I guess it's a greater good thing or something, but is it?
What about those poor security guards just working?
Yeah.
They're just there.
That scene in particular is pretty hard to swallow. Like, that might be the only scene, I think. I'm like, they're just killing all these guys, but they're just doing their job. They're not agents. They're just in the Matrix. They don't know any better.
Simulated families, you know?
Yeah, like, it seems like that's my only thing with this film. It's like, if they can do all these fancy things, why do they even need to go through that front door and kill all those people?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. But anyway.
It's very astute on your part.
I guess they're trying to save the world. You want to, you know, want to make a Tomlet, got to break a few Gregs, as they say.
Yeah. Wait, don't you just.
And it was Sydney.
Yeah, Sydney is definitely the main character here.
I mean, it was generic town USA, but for eagle-eyed viewers who know Sydney, that's Sydney. Some old logos that don't exist anymore, but.
Yeah.
There was a Dimmicks. Does Dimmicks still exist? Did that shut down?
There's still a Dimmicks building.
Yeah.
I think there's a Dimmicks at the front. St. James Station. Oh, that's a great station, isn't it?
Yeah, classic. Classic station.
Sydney has these little architectural gems, just sort of.
Yeah.
Like the State Library. You know, these little places where you go, or the State Theatre. It's got to have the word state in it.
Yeah.
You go in there and you're like, holy moly, this is a pretty special building.
QVB.
Oh.
Town Hall. I just hate all these glass buildings now. Same in New York too. Like, it's just glass on glass. It's
yeah,
and it's going to be outdated. Like, it all looks bland. Give me the brutalist concrete.
Well, I'll tell you who likes all the glass buildings.
Who?
Window cleaners.
They do. That's what it is.
It's the window.
It's the window cleaning agenda.
They're getting upstream and giving some brown paper bags to the architects.
Man, you're absolutely right. It's about time someone fucking said it. Like, take the red pill, wake up, sheeple. The window cleaners are fucking pushing this agenda and they're making you, you know, you follow orders in your big window towers.
Right, exactly.
Imagine if we slowly transitioned into one of those podcasts.
Well, I thought that's what we did.
Yeah, we're a couple of red pillars.
A couple of red pillars. Yeah, we love that sweet estrogen. That is funny, isn't it?
It's so funny. Okay, let's break this down.
Yeah.
So obviously red pilling has become a bit of a thing on the old internet there, whether you're QAnon or just some weird men's rights group, alt-right thing.
Wake up, sheeple.
They've really latched onto this red pill thing, which is undeniably from this movie, a movie that is a huge blockbuster, very mainstream, a film made by their mortal enemy, the Hollywood elite. You know, these red pillars are also pretty vocally against the queer agenda and all those sorts of things. Yet they've taken so much inspiration from this film, Greg.
Yeah.
So much. Written and directed by two trans people.
Confirmed allegory.
Yeah, that it is an allegory for the trans experience, code switching, living in a fake reality. It's likely more accurate that taking the red pill opens a reality to a literally non-binary world. Computer, binary. Out of the computer, non-binary. Gender, non-binary. Do you realize what you're saying, red pillars? You're saying, I mean, I wish you were, maybe this is what you mean and you're just bad at communicating, because that would be awesome. Let's all take the red pill together and hold hands, because that sounds great.
Estrogen supplements were red pills, were a red pill.
Yeah, yeah. It's so funny. Morpheus's description of the Matrix as well, what he said, creating a sense that something is fundamentally wrong, like a splinter in your mind, has been compared to gender dysphoria. In the original script, Switch was supposed to be a woman in the Matrix and a man in the real world. Ooh. It was early days, so it was hard to get that shit pushed through, I guess. But this is where they get the naming conventions from. Yeah. And I would also argue that the one character in the film that is most like these people is Cypher, who's the one that regrets taking the red pill and wants to go back into the Matrix.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can relate to that. Not in the broader sense.
I mean, I think I've arrived at that basically. At this point, I kind of don't care if it's a simulation.
Well, that's it. Like, Earth is a barren wasteland.
Yeah.
And then you've got the robots, you know, like in memory so at the end better. Of at the end of Artificial Intelligence, David's getting the fake memories, little robot boys. Yeah. You know, and he's living peacefully, happily.
Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss. As Cypher says, yeah.
And sure, we're getting fed, you know, the corpses of others. But it's the back end, Tristan. Nobody cares about the back end. It's the back end.
It's not the front end. It's the back end.
And, you know, found out that this lovely little life of mine with my friends and family, if I found out this was all fake, but the alternative was going to live underground with some smelly freedom fighters with that synthetic gruel to eat, I'm staying asleep.
But is it even fake at that point?
Well, like, exactly.
What
is, yeah. And Neo's like, oh, I know that place. They've got really good noodles.
Yeah.
But they weren't real. It's like, well.
And now you've ruined it for me. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, the whole simulation theory thing is still alive and well. We did talk about this in our lost tapes 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'll recap as much as best I can. But the theory is that we're most likely in a simulation based on a couple of principles. So if you believe that human civilization is, you know, going to reach a level of technological maturity capable of producing simulated realities, then there's a chance that that's already happened. And therefore we're in one. I'm not very good at explaining it. I'll put in a clip of Neil deGrasse Tyson. Actually, I'll play a clip. He's good. I'll play a clip of Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's good.
Here's the argument. Ready?
Go ahead.
Our computing power is growing rapidly.
Right.
We create simulations of worlds. We have video games with characters that are inside the video game.
Right.
Imagine a day where you can simulate a world so perfectly with life forms, humans, so well that you can recreate every single neurosynaptic thought you could have, but now you're in the simulation on the computer.
So,
including the perception of free will.
Well, there you have it. Because then, so now you would have enough computing power to imbue the Sims inside of the program with all of the human traits that we possess now.
Correct. Not only our human traits, but the world.
But the world.
The world itself.
Right.
And you don't have to have all the world existing there at all times.
Right.
That might be an unrealistic amount of computing power.
Right.
You just need
enough of the world that they see around them.
That they see around them.
Right.
So you want to start digging. And
that's so funny.
And haven't put the Earth there. There's a flag that goes up in the programmer, and they say, oh, need more Earth. So they put Earth beneath you while you can keep digging.
It's like the Truman Show.
Yeah, well, for example.
Okay. Cool.
Or doesn't Minecraft, you can build
or
stuff.
Or Minecraft.
Minecraft, right.
Oh, that is Minecraft.
Right, okay.
God, that guy's a brilliant genius. Okay.
So, and we went to the moon. They said, okay, let's make sure the moon is there.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe that's why we can't travel faster than the speed of light. Because if we could, we'd be able to get to another galaxy
before they could program
that galaxy.
Very excited nerds.
So much fun.
So the programmer put in the limit. Because that's the fastest light they can get.
We can't program fast enough. So we put in a limiter. The speed of light is a limiter so that you can't get to the next thing before we build it.
All right, so let me finish. That's good.
Go ahead, Chuck. All right.
So let me finish this. So now that world evolves and they develop computing power.
Right.
And they say, we want to play video games.
So now we're going to make a world.
So then they make a world and they have sufficient computing power that they invent to create a whole universe within their computers.
Okay.
And then
they make a world.
And then they make a world all the way on down.
Right.
It could be hundreds, thousands, billions. Infinite.
All right, so far this sounds like it still works.
That's fine. So now close your eyes, throw a dart. Which of these universes are you going to land in? The first one that's real or the gazillion that are not?
Well, yeah.
Just statistically.
Am I drinking when we're playing this darts game?
Because then you miss the entire
everything.
We're all having a good time. But yeah, well articulated, right? Much better than my attempt.
Yeah, that's...
I guess we're in a simulation. But then also, what's the difference, I guess? Because who cares? Because, you know, we feel all the feelings. We do all the things.
Why do I have to get indigestion?
That's true. Yeah, there should be like a software update. Why do I have to get fat? Why can't I just be abs? Why can't we all just have abs?
Yeah, that's the question.
That's why we're not in a simulation.
Yeah.
Because they would have fixed that.
They would have fixed it.
Hey, you know what I noticed in the sequels too? There's quite a bit of Heartbreak High cameos in these films.
Oh, yeah.
This one, there's Katarina.
Yeah.
And Ronnie, the teacher, the chick. She's not the Oracle, but she's the one that takes him to the Oracle. Like, she answers the door.
Oh, yeah.
She was the teacher in like season one or two or whatever. And I learned recently, Greg, that she is also the person that says, "Rage!"
Whoa.
How crazy is that?
That's the craziest ever.
It really was just another day. I wish I could remember the name of the show that I was working on at the ABC. Then someone just pops in from another studio and says, "Denny, please come in and do this bit of Rage, Rage, Rage." And I thought, well, that sounds easy. And it took all of about a minute. No wonder they only paid me $40. I mean, it didn't take very long. And they just asked me to rage, rage, rage all over the place. And they said, "Thanks, see ya." Never knowing that rage, that music videos would become what they became.
Rage! They still use that, right? It's the same thing.
Well, you have to.
Rage. I wonder if she does all the rages.
How good was Rage? Oh, man.
Rage is the best, man.
And then I loved it when they did the guest present. Well, that was pretty much all guest presenters towards the end.
Guest programming.
Well, they did the countdown, but then they did the guest programming, and you just get a...
Often that would be like overnight, like a big marathon of stuff.
And you just get a band in, often a touring band, and they would just pick the songs and they'd tell you why they picked those songs. And then you'd learn new things about bands that had tastes that you didn't realize.
Yeah. Cross-pollination, the nature of creativity and wonderful things.
Mm.
And the perfect living example is the actress that played Ronnie in Heartbreak High and yelled rage in our ears every Saturday morning. And showed up in The Matrix. What a legend. Yeah. What a legend.
It's a good peppering of Aussies.
Yeah, yeah. And some of them, mixed results as far as accents. I liked that the kid with the spoon didn't even try. He was great though, the kid with the spoon.
Oh, yeah.
Good, really. There is no spoon.
Yeah. It was great. It was a budget constraint that brought it here, wasn't it? Because they were blowing way over budget and then they're like, "Oh, we can do it in Australia and it'll cost us a fraction of the price." So they're like, "All right, we're going to Australia."
Yeah, I think it was part of the just not wanting to put too much money behind this when it was such a weird idea that, you know, with some noobs that they weren't totally sold on. But it was kind of the dawn of that era, right? Then a lot of stuff was shot in Australia, still is.
Yeah. Come here, we'll do it cheaper.
That was the Fox Studios era. Remember when that first popped up? It felt like, oh, what a big deal. We're becoming Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my big break.
Same.
Yeah. I guess we'll just keep waiting.
Yeah, that should do it.
Like David waiting for a cuddle from his mum.
Exactly. Hey, one interesting observation since we last covered it. I'm pretty sure in our lost tapes when we talked about this, 4 years ago, I'm pretty sure I remember thinking, we talked about Yeezy season two, like in the real world, the fashion is very Yeezy season two. But in The Matrix, I remember always thinking it was quite dorky, which I still kind of think, but it is very Balenciaga.
Oh, now. Yeah?
Like you can see that it's kind of come around.
a little bit derelict.
Yeah. And just like, leather, big leather, over the top of leather. And both, you know, Kanye affiliated brands, right? He's a big Balenciaga man.
Yeah, he would be.
So interesting. He must be a big Matrix man. He must be.
He must be. I saw a photo of him the other day wearing black tights.
It was weird.
And he's wearing
his new wife.
Yeah. You see that? You know the one I mean?
Yeah.
And he's got he's wearing like shin guards, like Muay Thai training shin guards.
Yeah.
But bare feet, it's very weird.
Well, whenever I want to remember simpler times, I just Google Kanye eating ice cream and there's so many delightful images. So many. He really loves ice cream and he always looks so happy. It's ice cream great.
Ice cream is pretty good.
Man.
Because it's so, you can just get so many different ones.
There's so,
like there's so many different types of ice cream.
There are so many different types of ice cream. Infinite. And in the real world, there's probably, what, there's just that gruel.
Mm,
fuck that.
Yeah.
And give like, me a Ben and Jerry's.
You got, I think bad ice cream can be good and good ice cream can be good and everything
hey,
in between.
I've been pitching this all over town recently, Greg. I think the mint choc chip people have it all wrong.
Go on.
I love mint and I love chocolate, but chocolate should be the base. It should be chocolate with mint chips.
Yeah, I'm listening.
That makes more sense, right? Because you don't want ice cream, mint-based ice cream, like mint and dairy. That's not, no. You want chocolate with mint chips. There you go.
Tristan's
wake up, sheeple.
Tristan's face was very serious when he was saying that.
I'm fucking dead. I've been thinking about this for years.
Make it happen. I know one of the Messina guys. Do you want me to send him a message?
Yeah, call it inverted. What do you call it? Inverted inside out mint choc chip.
I'll drop him. I'll slide into his DMs.
Man, you're going to do that and it's going to blow up and I'm going to get nothing for it except respect. Not even that. Well,
he's
maybe
a good guy.
Respect.
Maybe he'll get you like a free Viennetta thing that they do. He'll hook you up.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, maybe. I've got a movie thing to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
As I was watching this film, I was like, wow, this is kind of like the action sequences were quite John Wick-y.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'd agree.
Oh, yeah, that's how it all, yeah, sorry, continue.
And then there's sort of a few things sort of overlapping here. But off the bat, the reason is that the director of John Wick, Charles Stolarski, worked on this. He was the stunt double.
Yeah.
And he also worked as a stunt coordinator. So
how cool is that, hey?
This guy's got a pretty wild resume. So he was he worked on The Crow. And so he's Brandon Lee's body double once the accident happened to finish the film. They were really good mates. They studied martial arts together under Dan Inosanto, who's like a legend of the martial arts world.
Right.
Still training. Good mates with Bruce Lee. Obviously.
Right.
And funnily enough, unlike Will Smith, Charles was able to work on The Matrix and Wild Wild West. So.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So he's had a pretty wild career. And then he's obviously gone. So he's only directed the John Wicks. And obviously that's a super successful franchise.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, this is. This film is such a slight, like the sliding doors moment for Will Smith, maybe not so much because he's just gone on and crushed it anyway.
Yeah.
But for Keanu, like I was watching him fight in this movie and, you know, he did a lot of training, but he's still, obviously, it's new to him.
Over 6 months, yeah.
Watching the new, the new one, he's a form of a martial artist now. His on-screen techniques have come ahead leaps and bounds, and obviously John Wick is a huge successful franchise. His career has gone in a really different direction. He became an action superstar when he was – well, that wasn't his bag. Well, he kind of was, I suppose, sorry. But
it kind of
was. Martial arts.
Well, he's kind of had a few – I think more than any other actor, he's had so many ups and downs. Like he's had like at least three distinct – like comeback moments.
Yeah.
This being one of them and then John Wick being another and maybe Speed being another. But, man, and you're right. And it's almost a bit Tom Cruise-ian in that it's now like the physicality is his thing.
Yeah.
And I was also thinking, similarly, Greg, even today, I only finished watching it like an hour and a half ago. But I was thinking along those lines, like the action was fucking legit.
Mm.
And then I was thinking – because he's done so many other things beyond action, I haven't really thought of him as like an action guy.
Mm.
I mean, obviously I know he does action films, but you know what I mean? If you just looked at his action movies, which I would count Point Break, Speed, this, John Wick, just those, there's more probably, but
yeah,
that's up there with any other action star as like – maybe more, like as in stone cold classics.
Yeah.
Like that is maybe tier one. Like you can't beat that.
Is he Lat Pack?
Yeah, it's.
Because he's not really.
He could be. I guess, I think a long time ago we said maybe the criteria would be, would he be out of place in a Expendables film? Mm. I guess he wouldn't be. I could see him in an Expendables film.
Hmm. For sure.
That works. Yeah. All right. Make it happen, people.
There you go. Story by.
Story by.
Get the AI happening. You could do it yourself, Tristan.
That's true.
I want Keanu Reeves and a unicorn and Bill Murray, but it's an action movie.
AI may have written The Expendables. Did you see that? I sent you a TikTok today. I don't know if you saw it yet. Vin Diesel saying his four-year-old wrote some of the latest Fast and Furious.
Yeah, that's mate.
I don't think that means what you think it means to people hearing it. I need to watch that though. Although I'm way behind on those films. I think I've seen the first two. Mm. Not against them, just never got to them. I think I'll have a great time one day and just watch them all. They feel in our wheelhouse.
Yeah. We can do the first one on the show.
Fuck, that's crazy, isn't it? Isn't that crazy?
It's pretty, it feels very old. Like I've watched it a couple of years ago and I was like, wow, this is really old.
It's so low key relatively.
Yeah.
Relative to the new ones. Just driving cars, man. Yeah. Everyone's there. Ja Rule, the rest. There's a Sliding Doors one. He didn't come back for the sequel. And he made Fire Festival instead. I mean, there was a lot of space in between. But
I hear Fire Festival's coming back.
That's crazy. That's insane.
It is, but that's the world we live in.
It's insane. It is the world we live in. It is the world we live in. And hey, just on this film as well, Greg, this film, The Matrix, good film. hard to come up with things to talk about that hasn't already been said, but just to express my own happiness with this film. I think I've watched this film a lot and I was watching it again today and just like, I've seen it all. I'm kind of going through the motions here. Mm-hmm. But actually when he starts like finding himself, like when he saves Morpheus, that from that moment on, it really, the payoff is really satisfying.
Mm.
It really is. I was like, fuck yeah. I was yelling at the TV.
He yelled at the telly.
Yeah.
I've been yelling at Ara my TV.
I thought I was talking to her. Seymour thought I was talking to him. Oh. I was just talking to the TV. I was talking to Keanu. I was like, yeah.
Talking to Neo.
Yeah. And then obviously when he got to God mode level, that's fucking yeah, man. Yeah. Fucking great.
Good for him. Good for him.
So good.
Do you
good
know what,
for him.
What else was interesting in the comparison to the new one? They've gone from the agent being like that stuffy suit to tech billionaire Elon Musk sort of style guy.
It works, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the style.
Yeah.
That's who we love to hate now.
It's true. It's true.
Mm.
I wish I had more to talk about. It's hard to like, other than just listing things that are cool about this movie, it's a tough one to talk about.
Yes, it is. Well, we've had a good riff on it.
Yeah, we've had a riff. Better riff.
I wonder how this stacks up to our original.
I might have to find some astuteness in those old clips.
Yeah, well, we've probably both had at least 20 less drinks.
That's true. I'm drinking a protein shake. I'm not even drinking a beer or
something. Oh, look at you. Saturday night protein shake. Tristan's on a hardcore, is it a shred? Or it's just a...
It's a shred now.
It's a shred now.
It's a shred now. I've transitioned to shred.
Oh, snap.
Because we're going to Greece. In July, and I need to be a Greek god for my wife.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm going to Cairns in a week, and I'm in probably the worst shape I've been in about 5 years.
Fuck, I feel like we take turns, Greg.
I know, it's
weird. One of us is always on it, yeah. Yeah.
It's weird. I'm way off the wagon at the moment.
I still got a long way to go. I've made progress, but man, oof. It's just stuff that is just... There's inertia, you know? It ain't moving off
it
me.
It doesn't. Easy. That's the thing, man. Like when you hit your mid late 30s or beyond, like 40s, whatever.
Yeah.
You it's like easier to put on and harder to come off. It's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. What? I just had, you know, I had potato scallops yesterday, Tristan. That's where I'm
fuck
at.
Yeah.
And they were so good.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Fuck, I'm hungry now.
But I can only eat one and a half. Because they're so oily. I felt like shit afterwards. But, man.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, my God. I can't eat. They're so good.
That's my one saving grace in terms of diet is I can't eat too battery stuff. Like I can't really have fish and chips. It makes me feel gross.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy it.
Doesn't sit well.
I enjoy the first bite and then I'm just like.
Yeah, I can eat a whole thing and then feel shit.
Yeah, yeah. I don't get that with fried chicken though, so I can eat that till the cows come home, till the chickens roost. Yeah, me too. Hey, let's get into verdict.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say, really.
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
The law.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
I want to have them answered immediately.
You can't handle the truth.
What are you waiting for?
Say what again? I dare you.
Nothing further,
Your Honor.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Does anything fundamentally break in current day? Oh, wait, we forgot to do the tropes and stuff. We can fold that into verdict too. So depictions of the future, neon, brutalism, cyberpunk. Yeah, it's a wasteland, man. It's just wasteland. I wouldn't
have thought. These guys are, this is cyberpunking its face off.
Yeah, yeah. Human extinction, yes. robots bad or humans bad? Ooh. Or both?
Robots bad.
Ultimately robots, but I don't know. They're killing some humans too. The new one we added at the end of last week, are humans the virus? And actually they say exactly that, really, that humans are the virus, ironically. And did this film build the case for robot love? I first said no, but actually Agent Smith says he hates the Matrix. I hate it here. And if someone can hate, that means they can love.
It's very astute on giving yourself an astute.
It's very astute on your part.
Right? Right?
Well, I hope so.
It's like if you believe in Satan, then you must believe in God. It's the same thing, two sides of the same coin.
Are you looking for a bit of a origin story of Agent Smith? Find out what makes
him. Do you have what?
No. You could write one. No. Story by.
But he does, I forget that he, because in the sequels he does go rogue. He actually becomes part of the problem. And if I recall correctly, in the third one, Neo and the Matrix, like they're on the same side to defeat him because he's fucking everything up.
Agent Smith.
Because he becomes like a free AI thing, just.
AI is AI, yeah.
Like he's no longer security for the Matrix or whatever. He's just doing his own thing.
Oh, nice. He goes freelance.
He goes freelance. And then, yeah, they make a deal, I think, right, that the Matrix stays, but anyone that wants to leave can leave and coexist in the future. I think that's what it was. I can't remember.
Can you like come and go?
So complex.
It'd be nice to come and go.
Yeah.
Like just duck in for a steak.
Just one of those sex raves in the real world. Was in the sequels?
Yeah, that was I remember seeing the second one and they're like, what is this sex rave? It's really weird.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It was terrible. I was like, I really don't like this.
It feels so cringe, but I do think it's worth watching it once you get past that.
Yeah.
I think even with this film, it's a little bit dorky in parts, but I don't care too much.
I'm cool.
It's nice to have things that are earnest. Everything's so sarcastic now. It's nice to just have things that are like, believe in the things that they are.
Indeed.
FX test. Hell motherfucking yeah, man.
Pioneering.
Man. And it holds up. I think in the sequels there's some funny ones, but in this it's fucking legit.
Yeah.
Bechdel test, no, unfortunately. Race Bechdel, no, unfortunately. Cultural relevance, did Simpsons do it?
Wait, AI Bechdel.
Oh, AI Bechdel. Did AI speak to AI? Yeah, or not? Only about humans. So, no.
Fun.
I forgot about AI Bechdel. That's fucking genius from you. Forgot about that. Did Simpsons do it? Pretty sure. but I can't think of the scene, but I can imagine that's what they did.
Yes.
All these are redundant because this is one of the most culturally impactful films of all time. Porn parody, I assume also. Mm. Overall thought, this is a good movie. It's a rewatch, Greg, from me. I don't know. What about you?
It sure is. Yeah. It's the way it's aging is it's not going to ever be a bad film. It's
getting better. Hey, it is. I think just to put that out, this is
the opening scene of the first one feels like they've tried to replicate. Well, maybe it's an homage, whatever, to the first one of the new.
Oh, the new one. Yeah. Looks like the first one.
And
I think it is meant to be a bit of
an homage, but it's just nowhere near as good. Like, it's too crisp. It's too synthetic.
And it's also just more of the same. Like, it was so new. You hadn't seen anything like this. It was,
it's pretty special.
It is. It really, really is. Fucking great.
Good on them.
Who's your MVP? Everyone in this is an MVP.
Yeah, I actually didn't have one, but I'll just say Agent Smith, just because she's
awesome. Yeah. We didn't talk about Trinity all that much, but she's great, and it's strange that she's not more famous.
Yeah, we talked about her quite a bit in Memento, didn't we?
I think so, yeah.
Carrie Ann.
Oh, man. And I never really thought of her as much of a babe. But she's a babe, yeah. But in the new one especially, I was like, God damn.
like a fine wine.
Yeah. She's what a babe, total babe. I mean, they're all, her and Keanu together, like, that's a sexy couple right there.
Sure is.
So, yeah, because I can't choose, I'm going to give my MVP to Spoon Boy.
Oh, yeah. Of course. But of course.
What are we doing next week? Are we doing Blade Runner? I think we're doing Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah. Do you know, I thought we were doing Aliens this week, even though we weren't. Like, I was just watching Aliens early in the week, like, starting to form notes and then realized, we're not doing, I don't know why. Glitch in the Matrix. I think it might be Blade Runner.
Ooh. Hell yeah. Big movie. I've got to track down my English teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Because he blew my mind with that.
Mr. Bergstrom, was his name?
We're on that next
Mr.
week.
Mr. Bergstrom?
Yeah. And he was.
You are Tristan Burrell.
And he was voiced by Dustin Hoffman. Yeah.
Was Dustin Hoffman your English teacher? That's mad.
Yeah. No, it was Mr. Small.
Ah, Smallstrom.
Mr. Small. And we saw his first initial once and it was B. And so we all thought, Biggie Smalls. It's Biggie Smalls.
I'd rather Tupac. I'm a Biggie Smallman, but if it was an English class, I reckon I'd probably go for Tupac.
Yeah, absolutely, you would. He's a poet, man. Yeah.
Oh, I'd take either.
He was a crack fiend, mama. You always was a black queen.
Oh man, how messed up is that? There's a picture of Jada and him because they were obviously tight. And then in the comment, someone commented, "Oh, there's one bullet that Tupac dodged."
Oh.
I was like, "Oh no!"
Oh, there's a new Tupac doco on Hulu or Netflix. I can't remember, but man, I used to have all of them on DVD. And the fact that there's a new one, I'm ready to relive my my teen Tupac obsession.
I want to watch that McGregor one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and there's an Arnold one coming too, right?
Fall back in love with Conor McGregor. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's an Arnie one out. All these things.
So many things.
Can't AI a life story. Yeah, there you go. Let's go. I've got to go and collect my children.
I've got
children.
Eat some food.
I don't even get them. I forget sometimes when they're not here.
Bye. Welcome to Double Impact, the podcast where we double back and revisit the films that impacted us growing up as 90s kids. We'll decide, do they hold up today or are they best left in the past? I'm Tristan.
I'm Reggie.
Reggie.
My name is Reggie.
Yeah, sure. Reggie? Reggie, you want to...
You call me Greg, so I might be confused.
Greggie?
I can go Greg.
I'll go Greg.
Gregory, you want to elaborate on the concept of the podcast here?
This one?
Well, as a series.
As a series, yes, that's right. As you said, we will look back on movies we watched when we were kids and basically assess how they stack up in modern context.
Is it racist?
Is it still funny?
Is it funny? What happened to that guy?
Sexist and funny.
Mm. Is it rebootable?
Yes.
Is it rewatchable?
Have they rebooted?
Has it already rebooted?
Quite possibly.
Mm. All right, so we get into our first picture.
We should. What is our first picture, Tristan?
The Matrix.
The Matrix. Okay, sorry, continue. We'll make one up.
But yeah, we'll give it a cool name like the
Matrix.
The Theory of the Matrix.
Theory of the Matrix.
But yeah, basically, Brian Cox is a good